And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Oh my goodness, if you saw what I saw this morning, you would say the most beautiful portrait of all time was the sunrise coming up. It was amazing. Man, today's going to be a beautiful day. I am so interested by this article right here. Now, you may say, I don't find that interesting, but or I don't find it compelling like you do. But just think about this for a second. I think I mentioned maybe last week that for maybe, I don't know, let's just say 25 years, just to make it simple. It's probably more like 35 years. I've tried to listen to prospective studies on pharmaceutical drugs where they run trials to treat either dementia or Alzheimer's. If I'm not mistaken, if we look at all the people that lose their ability to remember things, it's probably Alzheimer's is going to be the diagnosis they're given. I know this is a side note, but if you look on the internet and you type in images of the brain of a normal, healthy, elderly person versus one with Alzheimer's, the Alzheimer's brain just looks horrible. It looks like it goes from a beautiful-looking brain to a dried, shriveled-up-looking raisin that's just withdrawn. It just doesn't look good. And basically what's happening is they're just losing so much of their brain and their neurons. It's just horrible. But over the last, let's just say 35 years, I don't know that I've ever come across one drug trial. Even though at the start of it, they always promised, you know, the moon and the stars, like, this is so promising, we're seeing great results. And man, don't you know, they would love to do that, because that would probably be one of the most expensive pharmaceutical drugs of all time. I'm not trying to knock anybody here, but they're trying to figure out something for which there's probably not a simple pharmaceutical solution. If it takes 30 to 45 years for this to develop, how are they going to fix it with a drug overnight? It's just not going to happen. It's just not the way it works. But I have yet to see, let's just say, one out of 27 different drug trials where they tried to test a pharmaceutical drug to see if it could either... And listen, when I read these articles, if they could find a drug that would just help maintain the loss where it wouldn't progress and get worse, or, you know, keep the ship moving in the right direction without it, you know, sinking, they'd probably say that's a home run. You notice I didn't say if they could find a drug or if I could find a remedy that would restore the function of the brain to where it worked like it did when they were, say, you know, 15 years old or 25 or 35. You get the point I'm getting to. I just mean, if there was a point in time where you said, you know what, my brain is firing on all eight cylinders, I like the way I think, I love it, I have plenty of energy, my brain doesn't get tired, I have clarity, I don't feel stressed, I'm able to focus, you know, that sort of thing. I did, boy, wouldn't that be nice if they could just find something that would stop the damage? You know, maybe you've lost about 25% of your function, but if they give you a drug that would keep that from further progressive deterioration or decline, that, folks, would probably be a home run. It really would. But they haven't been able to do that. And they certainly haven't been able to find any type of medication that I'm aware of. I mean, if you're a neurologist or a neurosurgeon and you know of drugs that actually help restore the function of the brain and grow new brain cells where people regain lost function and they go from repeating themselves every 30 seconds the same thing, asking the same question over and over again, they don't remember why they walk from one room to the next, they don't remember the conversation they had with you just 2 minutes ago, I would love to know what that is. I just am not aware of it. Of course, there's a lot of things I don't know. I tell you what, I think I can learn something new every single day. Part of it's because I want to and I like it. Okay, I found an article here, and this is only for your consideration. So I don't want to really overthink this too much, but you know that there's no human being that makes it off the earth in one piece. Unless our Lord and Savior Jesus comes again, we're going to go the way of our fathers and mothers. We're going to die. So you have to tell me, do you want to keep your body in good working order where you can function at a high level up to the very end? Or do you want to be maybe one of those people that you see on the motorized wheelchairs that are 20 years old at Walmart that have already, at the ripe old age of 20, they've already lost their ability to walk to the back of the store? So no one's trying to be critical. I'm just making an observation. I ask myself that question all the time. I say, Roy, how many people does it take in America to be so sick, to be so unfit, to be so diseased that everybody and their uncle is on disability where they can't even walk to the back of the store to get a stick of butter because they're in such bad working order? Well, the answer is there's a lot of that. Well, who's going to pay the bills? If everybody's on disability, doesn't that mean that you need some people being able to function at a high level and work so they can pay the bills? I mean, let's face it, folks. The era of men working really, really hard, carrying the whole load for everybody, while a bunch of people don't, that's going to come to an end. You can't continually spend more money than you make. I remember my father saying, it's not what you make, Roy, it's what you keep. And you understand what he was trying to instill. It is so important for a number of reasons to save. So maybe that's what I'm doing right here. I'm trying to save you from a horrible neurological decline of your brain. I don't want you to have dementia or Alzheimer's or any version thereof where the brain stops working. Okay, here's a study. It came from Greece. It was published in the journal Biology, 2025, May the 15th. I'm not going to read all the other numbers to you. You can look it up for yourself, but the journal is called Biology, May the 15th, 2025. And I like this study. It was done in Greece. Okay, listen to this right here. Here's a study. I'm going to give you the highlights of it. Some biochemists from Aristotle University of Thessaloniki. Doesn't that sound like Thessalonica? Almost sounds like when you're right before the book of 1 Timothy, there's 2 Thessalonians. Yeah, that's it. So biochemists from Aristotle University of Thessaloniki. I think I'm saying that right. I hope I am. They experimented with 54 Greeks that were between the ages of 65 and 83. I don't know. Maybe there's someone listening this morning that's between the age of 65 and 83. I'm guessing there could be one, maybe two. There might be a whole lot that's younger than 65, and there may be one or two, you know, really impressive people beyond the age of 83. Actually, if they are beyond the age of 83, they are quite impressive in a lot of ways. Those are actually the best people of all time. They've got so much wisdom and so much insight, and I just love it. That's what I want to be like when I grow up. Okay, so these people were between the age of 65 and 83, but here's the issue. All 54 of these Greeks in that age category, they were beginning to slowly and surely deteriorate mentally. Okay? Now, I'm not saying they were demented. They didn't have dementia. They didn't have Alzheimer's. But they were sure beginning to forget things. And there was a lot of things that were left undone. Things that formerly they could do easily. And they could recall. Their cognition worked good. They could do executive planning. They could plan their day. But these folks, they were starting to lose it mentally. Okay? So what the researchers did was, they divided the subjects into a control group and a supplementation group. And so the control group received no supplements. They didn't even get a placebo. Now, this is the punchline. Here's the first takeaway. If I've got your attention, I want you to listen to this, because this to me is very interesting. And I learned something new. I'm teaching myself new stuff this morning. This is exciting. The subjects in the supplementation group, they took 5 drops. I got to turn my alarm off. They gave them 5 drops of oil. Guess where it came from? It was pressed from the seeds of the pomegranate. That's all they gave them. They gave half these people that were showing signs of memory loss and loss of cognition. They gave them 5 drops of oil that came from pomegranate seed. And how long did they do that for? They did it for 12 years. Now, I need you to think about this. If you have known someone, whether it's a relative or someone that you love, or maybe there's an individual that you go to church with, and you can just see it, you go, they are not themselves. They're losing their ability to remember. They're on the decline. You get where I'm coming from? So that's all they did. Those that took the supplementation, it was just 5 drops of pomegranate seed oil daily for 12 years. I don't know that we could make anything easier than that. It says the oil was produced by the Greek company, and their name is Rodi Helles. That's R-O-D-I, or Rodi Helles. Makes me sound like the sun, like a rod of the sun, a rod of light. I don't know. Incidentally, they need to point out that Rodi Helles, the company that made the pomegranate oil, they didn't do anything to support the study. They didn't pay for it. That's just where they got the product. I think it was just as simple as, what are we going to try on these people that have loss of their memory? And they said, we're just going to get the pomegranate seed oil from this company, Rodi Helles. Okay. They say that the oil consisted of 70 to 85% of the polyunsaturated fatty acid that's called punicic acid. That's spelled P-U-N-I-C-I-C. I hope I'm saying it right. So if you've never heard of punicic acid, I know you've heard of omega-3 fatty acids. That's what you would get in a good concentration if you took fish oil or cod liver oil or salmon oil, right? There's also omega-6 fatty acids. You might get those from vegetable oils. Maybe you, like me, you've even heard of omega-9 fatty acids. I think you get that from, olive oil, things like that. But this is different. This is called punicic acid. Is referred to as an omega-5 fatty acid. And I must confess, I did not know that information, but I do now. So here you go. That's what's different about pomegranate seed oil. It's called an omega-5 fatty acid, but it has a high concentration of omega-6 fatty acids, or punicic acid. Now, this is just a little sidebar right here. I went on to Wikipedia, and I looked up punicic acid because I wanted just an opportunity to learn. I wanted to see what they said. And this is what they said that I thought was interesting. Hey, look it up for yourself. Now, I didn't write down the designation, but I made a notation on my sheet of paper right here because I wanted to make sure I covered this with you, that when they genetically breed rats to be highly obese, so just think of it. I know that's cruel. But what they're after. They want to find out if there's a medicine or a pharmaceutical they can design that can take the rats that are bred to be super, super fat and help them to become lean. Well, they haven't been able to do that. But in the lab rat studies, I'm not trying to promise this because I haven't looked this up yet. If they take obese rats that are genetically bred to be obese, which means it's awfully hard to make them lean, if they feed them punicic acid, which comes from, it's the oil or the fatty acids that come from pomegranate seeds, all of a sudden they become lean. Now, when I say all of a sudden, you're thinking I'm going like, snap. No, that's not what I mean. I mean, over time, they do. Now, I didn't look that study up, so I don't know how they did it, what the dose was. I just don't know. But the other one that caught my attention was this right here. When they put the punicic acid, the omega-5s that come from pomegranate seed oil, when they put it in contact with human prostate cancer cells, it keeps it from spreading. Now, I don't know if you have a value for that, but if you can keep a cancer growing very slowly where it doesn't really affect the body and it doesn't, migrate or metastasize or spread to another location, I think that's like a good thing. So I did not read that study either, but I read the reference to it, that prostate cancer cells, when they were put in contact with punicic acid from pomegranate seeds, all of a sudden the cancer did not spread. You do with that exactly what you want to do with that. Now, they had this type of an examination they gave them. It's called the mini mental health state examination. So basically, if you scored like 27 on that questionnaire, I think there's 30 questions, that means your mind is in tip-top shape. I'm so glad there's not one in front of me where I could take it right now. I may not do so well. But the lower the score, the more the severity of the symptoms when it comes to dementia. And I know, I'm just kind of asking you to use your mind here, your imagination. I know you have come in contact with somebody that they just cannot function mentally. They can't even take care of themselves. They can't feed themselves. They sure can't bathe themselves. They could, if it's a man, maybe I should say a woman too. I don't think of women as shaving their beards, but, maybe shaving their legs. But they can't even do basic things like that. Okay, now listen to this right here. And I'm reading what the researchers say, but you got to tell me if you agree with this or not. They're saying the improvement in the mini mental state examination scores in the supplementation group is not clinically significant, okay? That's what the researcher says. This is 12 years, okay? Now, what I'm going to say is, that does not mean that stopping the mental decline is not relevant. You got what I'm saying right there? You're trying to stop the damage, keep it from getting worse, right? Okay, that does not mean that stopping the mental decline is not relevant. Especially if the agent that is causing this stoppage is as cheap and safe as pomegranate oil. That's what the researchers write. Okay. All right, I know I'm looking at a chart here. This is so technical, but they're showing over a 12-year period. Those individuals that had memory issues and mental decline, they got worse. Okay? So there was a decrease in the mental abilities of the people that were the control group that took no pomegranate oil. But listen to this right here. In the other group, which took the pomegranate oil daily, the average mini mental state examination scores increased by 0.8 points. They actually got a little bit better over 12 years. So you tell me, would you rather get better or would you rather get worse? Now, this is probably all the scientific people out there, this is probably what they want to hear. In the control group, the concentration of amyloid beta-40 and phosphorylated tau-181 increased by 11 and 25%. That means they had more plaque and damaged and deranged proteins build up in their brain. When you get plaque, beta amyloid plaque build up in the brain, all of a sudden those neurons, they don't fire on all eight cylinders. They start misfiring. Okay, so in the blood or the brains of people that didn't take the pomegranate seed oil, there was an increase in tau proteins and beta amyloid plaque deposition. What would you guess that would be in the supplementation group? Oh, this is interesting. In the supplementation group, the concentrations of beta amyloid plaque, they decreased by 40%. Would you rather have an increase in plaque or would you rather have a decrease? Well, I think I know the answer to that. And the other proteins, the tau proteins, they decreased by 21%. Of course, they increased by 25% in the ones that did not get the pomegranate oil. So you tell me, do you want to age in such a way where you can keep you know, your body in good working order. I don't know. That's just food for thought there. There is a phone number to this radio program, or phone line here to the radio station. It's 903-589-8507. That's 903-589-8507. The reason I'm giving that out is maybe you want to call and ask a question related to health and healing. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan, I have a question about my cholesterol. My doctor says that it's very good. My HDL is 92. My LDL is 142. So my total is 251. My triglycerides are 49. Now, he always tells me that that's very good, I think, because of the ratio. What do you think about that?
What is your VLDL?
Now, where do I find that on my blood work?
Well, it should be, it should say total cholesterol, triglycerides, HDL, LDL. Then it should say VLDL.
Are you saying V as in victory?
V as in victory.
Mm-hmm. I don't see that list.
Then they didn't do it then. And here's the point that I was going to make.
Okay.
This may be kind of a different way of trying to answer your question, but VLDL, if I could choose to rename that, I wish Donald Trump would put me in charge of naming these things, because I could come up with some good names. But I want to call the VLDL the very, very, very bad form of cholesterol.
Okay.
Now, as a general rule, when that number starts to hit 21 and above, that's a pretty good indication that cholesterol is being deposited on those inner linings of your arteries, which is not good. Mm-hmm. And so I like to see that number below 21. It kind of gives me some confidence. Now, your triglycerides at 49, that's excellent. That's really a good number.
Okay.
Now, here's the next thing I need to say, and I'm going to try not to go overboard on answering your question. You do realize that cholesterol is essential for life.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken, one half of the dry weight of your brain is pure cholesterol. Did you know that?
No.
I know that the brain, when a child is born or when the child is in the womb, that's when the brain is developing so rapidly. It's just growing so fast. I don't even know if it's possible for an adult to even come close to how rapidly a newborn baby's brain is developing. It's just incredible growth. So my point is, what is the very best food to give a newborn baby? It's superior to anything else that we could come up with. I mean, we could say, here's a formula that scientists have come up with, but they're not going to be able to compete with God's creation, which is mother's breast milk.
Right.
So women have mammary glands, and they make breast milk for the baby. It's like the perfect diet if you want the child to be healthy and strong and develop in all those good ways. Well, lo and behold, guess what the highest cholesterol-containing food on the earth is? It's mother's breast milk. So did God make a mistake when he put all that cholesterol in mother's breast milk, or did he know what he was doing, that babies need the cholesterol so they can actually grow myelin sheaths and they can learn to walk? Because you can't walk without cholesterol. That's the difference between us and plants. Plants don't have cholesterol, and they can't walk. Now, I will change my opinion. If I see a giant sunflower chase me through the forest, I will call you back tomorrow and say, boy, was I wrong about that.
Okay,
so there's a class of drugs called statins. And statins do one thing. They lower the cholesterol levels, and they do it by a couple of mechanisms. But to the best of my knowledge, the only form of cholesterol they lower, and I'm going to use your LDL at 142 as my example, is they're, mm-hmm. they're lowering the form of cholesterol called LDL type C. C as in cat. Well, to the best of my knowledge, that is a very neutral form of cholesterol, which means it has not been shown to either promote heart disease or to promote heart rejuvenation or healing. But I think it's necessary for other things. I mean, every hormone that your body makes just about is made from cholesterol, so you got to have cholesterol if you want to make hormones. But the form of LDL cholesterol that's been shown to be very toxic to the lining of the arteries is called type B, B as in boy.
Okay.
And so there's a $17 test. It's called apolipoprotein B. And so
okay, you want to spell that?
I'm going to have to write it down first.
Okay.
Okay, it's called apolipoprotein B. A-P-O L-I-P-O and then the word protein.
Okay.
Then you can put a capital letter B. That costs $17.
Okay.
But what that would do is, if that number was elevated, what that means is your cholesterol is legitimately a problem. Okay? If it's okay. in the normal range, most likely it means the cholesterol is not going to be a problem, it's never going to be a problem. There would be no reason to use statin drugs under those circumstances.
And so it would be 21 and above.
No, on the VLDL, not the apolipoprotein B.
Okay.
Those are two different
things. Number?
Well, they're going to be in the hundreds, and I think, I don't remember exactly, but I'm going to say above 520. If they measure apolipoprotein B, if it's above 5, but what you do is the laboratory is going to give you the chart from, you know, perfect to normal to like excessive mm-hmm. or high. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Or I know this is not correct, but it would say if it's normal or is it low or is it high. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
But when apolipoprotein B is elevated, that's when you've got a problem. Now, the easy thing that you can do is you either, you know, drive yourself to the laboratory and you pay, or you first pay $17 and they do it for you. You do it that way. Or mm-hmm. if you want to go to your doctor, you can let them do it also, or your nurse okay. or your PA. The lab testing service that I utilize is called ownyourlabs.com.
Yes, I've written that down.
Now, let me explain this. A lady called last week and she says, Dr. Morgan, you're wrong about the lab prices. They're not $10 for a cholesterol test. Well, you're right. They're not $10. If you don't use ownyourlabs.com, then you're not going to pay $10. And if you want to go to, if you want to go somewhere where they charge you $150 for that, then you can pay it if you want. But I just soon get it for $10.
Oh, yeah.
So apolipoprotein B is $17.
Okay.
And if it were me, I don't even want to do a lipid panel unless I do VLDL, because I need to look at every advantageous marker to benefit you. Your HDL at 92, that makes me think that, you know, when this starts going above like the number 80, that is where you start seeing more issues with brain function and cognitive decline. I'm not saying that to be mean or rude to you, but I'd rather tell you so we can maybe do something to tilt the balance in your favor.
And you said that was my HDL?
Yes, ma'am.
If it went above
80.
Well, mine's 92. I thought that was the good cholesterol.
Well, why don't you, when you get off the phone with me, go to the internet uh-huh. and type in, does an HDL level of 92 signify a potential memory loss or autoimmune disease or something like that? And just see what you come up with.
Okay.
I know this in the real world. If a young woman who doesn't feel good and she's having all these problems, if her HDL cholesterol is that high, I start thinking this is like a warning sign that maybe she's headed toward autoimmunity. Now, I don't know what type of doctor you want to go to. Do you only want to go to doctors that say You know what? I've been taking care of you for 30 years now, and now you've got advanced dementia. No, I don't like the whole concept of watching and waiting and just responding after the fact. I like taking action now. And so if your HDL is at 92, this may be some type of harbinger that there may be a little bit of deterioration somewhere in the body that needs to be addressed.
Well, I'll declare, I really thought that a high HDL was good and you wanted a low LDL.
What makes you say that?
Well,
I mean, what is the reason that you're saying that?
Because I've always thought that the LDL was bad, and you wanted it to be low.
But it's not. But it's not bad. The only time it can ever be bad is if it oxidizes or begins to rust.
Okay. Well, see, that's where I'm confused, because my doctor says that my cholesterol is very good. He doesn't see it that good very often. And he does not recommend statins. He has not prescribed statins.
I think I like him an awful lot.
Yeah.
Sounds like you got a great doctor there. And what I'm doing is I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm just giving you some different things to think about. I think
that's why I called.
Yeah, there's maybe a different way of looking at this. So you're asking really good questions. And so I'm going to give you some easy things, some low-hanging fruit here. Why don't you have your doctor order a VLDL, very low density lipoprotein? If that comes in under 21, hey, you're looking great. Have him order an apolipoprotein B. If that comes in at the normal range, you're doing great. I probably would if it were me, and I know this sounds a little bit unusual. They now can very, very simply just get a drop of blood from your fingertip, and they can put on a slide, let it dry, and send it to a laboratory. But now they can measure the concentration of water called, or what's called, omega-3 fatty acids in your red blood cell membrane. And so the average American's probably around 4 or 5. That ain't good. But people that tend to be in the best working order, and they tend to have most excellent health, they're going to have somewhere between 8 and 12%. So the higher that number goes. And actually, there's studies that show that omega-3 fatty acids can significantly increase the quality of your life by about 5 years. You just can't make that stuff up. There's no way that I could tell you if I say, hi, I'm an expert. My name is Dr. Morgan. I prescribe Lipitor every single day. I believe in it. But there's nothing that I could come up with as far as evidence or proof that I could extend the quality of your life by 5 years by giving you Lipitor. Far from the truth. I could tell you that if you took a statin, there's a chance you're going to develop diabetes in 7 years. That's what the studies show. So I'm not against any of his comments at all. I'm just saying if you want to answer the question, but your HDL at 92, that makes me think that there may be some inflammation. They could very, very easily measure a hormone level called insulin, because technically insulin is the hormone that tells your body, or your liver, if you want to say it that way, to make cholesterol. So always think insulin levels need to be at the number 5. And your hemoglobin A1C, that needs to be at 5 or below. So if you want to have healthy blood and arteries, make sure your uric acid is at 5, your hemoglobin A1C is at 5 or below, and your insulin's 5 or below.
Now you're going too fast. Because I can't write that. Well, I can listen to it on the computer, I guess. But I have my blood work in front of me.
Well, we can't do that. That's your doctor's job, not mine.
No, I'm saying where would I find those?
Well, he didn't order them, most likely. So if your HDL is at 92, that's telling me there's something that's going on in your body that we need to address. And if I'm wrong about that, then I'm wrong. I can say, well, I'm sorry. But the doctor can look at other markers to tell if you have inflammation. They could do something like a C-reactive protein level. You know, in the real world, here's what I would have you do. Stand okay. on one foot and see how long you can hold your balance. If you can hold it for a minimum of 30 seconds without touching the floor or having to steady yourself on the countertop or a chair, a couch, or table, then there's an issue going on with the brain. That's the way that all neurologists used to test brain function back in the 1970s. They would have a person stand on one foot and keep their eyes closed. If you can stand on one foot with your eyes closed and maintain your balance for 30 seconds, then you have most excellent brain function. But if you cannot, then there's an issue with the brain.
Okay. Okay. I don't think I can do that for 30 seconds because I do try to do that to help my balance. It's what I think I'm doing it for.
Well, yeah, but it's all of it's challenging your brain.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good.
Okay. Well, you've given me a lot to chew on this morning.
I may not have told you what you wanted to hear, but I'm telling you what I think is in your best interest.
Well, that's what I want to hear. I wouldn't waste my time calling you if I didn't want you to tell me the truth.
No, I know, so. I get that. Well, thanks very much for your phone call.
Well, I thank you for helping me.
All right, have a good day, ma'am.
And a good week.
Oh, all thank right. you so much. Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open. Please don't be nervous or shy. 903-589-8507. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a unique case that I would like to run by you. About 15 years ago, I was helping move someone, and there was a crack between their front door and the porch that they built. And carrying something out, somebody called to look back, and my left leg fell into that crack.
Oh, no.
Block the fall, and so that I have huge hematoma there. Took a long time to dissolve, so I guess my knee didn't break or anything, but ever since, but that leg swells up every day, and I believe I looked for a vein doctor, I can't remember which kind of doctor I went to, but nothing came out of it, so it's been quite a while, of course, so I use compression hose, and that keeps under control. In the night, it always goes down. It's only when I'm staying on my feet.
Well, that's a good sign.
Yeah, so it still does, but recently, the last few weeks, that even with the compression hose, it's still swelling, and I can feel the pressure there, and I have to literally take the hose in, and I can see the swell there.
Do you do any feet strengthening exercises?
Not particularly.
Do you ever just stand up on your own 2 feet barefooted and do calf raises and heel raises or toe raises and heel raises to strengthen your muscles? Well, and the reason why I'm saying that, it's truly the job of the muscle tone to keep the blood moving through your veins. So your heart does a great job of pumping blood down to your toenails or your little toe and back. But to get it to the toes, but to get the blood back, that's the job of the muscle tone in your legs. And so with an injury, it may be that you never quite regained those muscles' ability to work at 100% efficiency like they used to. I mean, I get that. That's what injuries do. I mean, they don't do any favors. Could you imagine my mother dropping me on my head as a child? That didn't do me any favors, did it? But so I'm giving you like a little bit of a clue here. If a person came to see me and they said, Dr. Morgan, I have varicose veins, I have venous congestion. Well, what I would do is I would have them squat down to the ground and see if they can hold a deep squat with the heels flat on the ground. And their bottom is usually just almost like an inch off the ground because they're so deep and so low. I would say a deep squat is one of the ways that you help correct that. I would say that feet and lower leg exercises are critically important. And that's where you can do what are called calf raises or heel raises, then toe raises where you rock back on your heel and curl your toes up. But you're just trying to find out anything that can stimulate the body to grow new muscle and your feet become stronger, then you'll start pumping the blood back. Now, maybe as a little bit of a side topic, I am a firm believer in a flavonoid compound called rutin. Rutin is spelled R-U-T-I-N.
I'm taking that because I heard you speaking on it before.
Well, it's okay. Definitely a substance that's worth considering. Now, I haven't got to the kidneys yet, but if now you have fluid in your legs at night and it doesn't go away, I might kind of take a closer look at the kidneys to see if there's something where they're not working as efficiently. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a $10 test. It's called a comprehensive metabolic panel.
Yeah, it goes out. It goes down at night, just when you're kind of standing up during the day.
Oh, I thought you said now it's not going down at night. Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood you.
No, the compression hose is not working anymore. It still swells up during the day.
Well, the compression hose is only taking the place of your muscles. What I'm saying is, let's do it in reverse. Let's build up your muscles so you don't need compression hose.
Okay.
Maybe if your husband were on the line listening, I would say, you better start massaging her legs with extra virgin olive oil every night before she goes to bed and let the oil soak into your legs to try to heal them.
Okay. I've been putting castor oil.
Well, that's a good choice. Another thing, this may sound horrible, but I'm being very direct and honest with you. What you have is you have more inflammation than what your immune system and your repair mechanisms can handle. That means everything's breaking down faster. I'm not trying to be negative. It's just the way it is. You could always try one of the simplest techniques of all time. It's just a 5-gallon bucket of water. Put some ice in it and soak your legs in that for 10 minutes a day.
Wow.
You almost pretend you're on a Singer treadle sewing machine and you're just kind of pumping the treadle up and down to keep the sewing machine going.
Uh-huh.
10 minutes a day of an ice water foot and leg bath.
Okay.
And if you make it an effort to walk barefoot as much as you can, wherever you can, I realize there's places you can't. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to see some people at church tomorrow morning without shoes on. They're probably called babies. No, I don't think I see many adults without shoes. I'm just joking about that. But if you can walk, the more that you walk barefoot, obviously, we're trying to tap into what do we do to help stimulate healing and repair of your body. Because you don't want, I mean, now that you're noticing this, you don't want your vascular system to be in greater decay,
mm-hmm.
where it gets worse.
Okay. All right. So it has nothing to do with lymphatic or...
Oh, no. I didn't say that. You're bringing up a good point, but... And that's why I mentioned rutin is because if your vessels are starting to kind of break apart, they're going to start leaking fluid, and that's what you're having. Yeah, and you're really wise to say that, but I kind of jumped to the solution, which is to put your legs in a bucket of ice water for 10 minutes. It is brutal, by the way. Or if you want to wait till Mother's Day, they will have the 100-gallon horse troughs on sale, and you could fill that up and dip your whole body in it with some ice.
Well, whatever it takes, so we'll try.
Okay, that's a spirit.
So you say compression hose is actually is more damaging than helpful?
No, I never said it was damaging at all. You're using the compression hose because you have poor muscle tone. That's what I'm saying. And so the solution for that is to set your mind like flint, that you're going to work on improving your muscle tone. I mean, what can I do to stop you from walking 3 miles a day?
Absolutely nothing.
Right. So if you want to start walking 3 miles a day as a means to try to counter all this, if you want to dip your legs in a bucket of cold ice water, if you want your husband to rub olive oil, then and you want to start doing your foot and lower leg exercises and deep squats, I think all that's going to be phenomenal for you.
Wonderful. I appreciate that.
All right. You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Thank you very much for your phone call. The phone number here at the station is area code 903-589-8507. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a real quick question. First of all, my father's wife is 95. She's turning 95 on the 6th. And she had a UTI.
Did you just say 95?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
She's in good physical shape, and she had a UTI, and all of a sudden she had a rapid onset of dementia. And we've been praying about it. In the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about Alzheimer's. And that's how God works, in my opinion. You know, he gives us resources and avenues to at least look for possible...
You mean out of the blue, all of a sudden, the information that you're wanting and needing, is it just appears? Wow.
And it's, yes. And
I think it's good that we give credit and glory to God for that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, my pleasure. But you told this, you said we can look up this study from the University of Thessalonica.
No, Thessaloniki. It's got an I on the end. Sorry. Well, here, let me look it up. Let me look it up real quick. No, the journal is Biology. It's the May issue of 2025, May the 15th. Sorry.
You know what?
But it sounds like Thessalonica, doesn't it?
I know. Well,
I just wasted your time. I'm so sorry.
No. I'm trying to share with you that I've done web searches for the magazine Biology since you brought it up. It's not out there.
Well, it's a published journal.
Okay.
It's not
a magazine.
It's May the 5th. No, it's a medical journal. I'm so sorry. And you have to forgive me.
No.
I did mention it that way, but no, it's correct. They have this is a money-making proposition also.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
Don't take what I'm saying the wrong way. I'm not saying this information is not valuable, but I am not going to spend $1,500 for a quarterly issue four times a year. I'm not doing that.
I'm not either.
But there's a lot of people, that's the prestigious to them to say, well, I am a subscriber to Biology from Thessaloniki. No, I'm just kind of joking about that. But a lot of these are so outrageously expensive. All I'm doing is I'm quoting the research that I looked up, but I don't really have the journal in front of me.
The only reason why I need to have that is because I brought up the fact of my father and my sister, who is absolutely pharmaceutical-based.
Oh,
she's a nurse.
I see where you're going.
And I need to have something based on, hey, look, this is not me saying it. This isn't my notes from Dr. Morian. And so I guess what I'm saying is how can I, first of all, you brought up spirulina. When I suggested that to my dad, I said, it's a supplement. No, everyone, your sister says no drugs. It'll make it worse. Well,
it's not a drug. Okay. It's food. That's all it is.
I understand, sir.
I know. I'm just talking to you.
The challenges I have.
Yeah, you've got challenges, all right.
Well, she demanded him to take the COVID jab, every booster. And thank goodness, he's 93. He's doing great. My point is, that's the kind of things that I have to say, look, there's other ways.
That's a battle. Yeah.
So you're saying the Journal of Biology, do you think it will be on the net?
Yeah.
That particular article.
Well, that's how I got it, yeah. And what I did was, while you were talking, and I appreciate everything that you're saying, I tell you what, could you imagine if every son was just like you, that went above and beyond the call of duty because you just genuinely love people and you care about people?
Yeah, I do.
All the man, you're touching so many lives in a positive way. Oh,
well,
but I do have,
you
I do
are,
have,
doctor, you are. Glory go to God that you came into doing what you're doing, and you're sharing this valuable knowledge with a lot of people. You're helping so many people, and I can't commend you enough.
No, you're very kind.
I don't want to take too much of your time, though.
No, but I got the journal for dementia and spirulina if you want it. It's really impressive. It's called the Journal of Nutrition, Science, and Vitamintology. It comes from Tokyo, Japan, 2011. Okay. It's volume 57, second quarter, pages 186 to 91.
Okay.
I know that may not, that may sound ridiculous, but you know, there's a huge difference here. Could you imagine if just at the right place and the right time, if all of a sudden your dad called you on the phone and said, "Son, could you tell me one more time what you told me the other day about the spirulina?" And you go, "Yeah, Dad, let me tell you. I heard this guy on the radio talking about it and how it showed to be beneficial, and what do you think about that?" He said, "Well, son, I'd like to look it up."
Well, unfortunately, he's very savvy on the computer, but the fact is, if I have a hard time finding it, he won't find it at all. So,
well, and let me tell you. So it just popped in my head. Please forgive me.
Yes, sir.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna type in on my phone right here, spirulina research.
Okay.
Because I came across this article where it gives all the references, but there is a reference specifically with mental decline and dementia. Let me see if I can find it because that article is like so easy to read.
Okay. Great.
Let me see if I can find it here. National Institutes of Health. Nope. Nope. Harvard Health. No. WebMD. No. Science Direct. I wonder if that's it right there. There was. Oh, here it is right here. Oh my goodness, I found it. It's like a miracle. Okay, here it is right here. The website is called examine.com. I found it for you. Woo, that was a close one.
Examine.com?
Yeah, yeah, examine, like I'm going to examine your toe. Examine.com, and if you type in spirulina research, oh my
Great.
Goodness, they've got it broken down phenomenal. I tell you, the part that I got, I'm wasting your time right here.
No, you're
sorry.
Not.
I was going to talk about what I was impressed. No, I'm not going to do that. That's wasting your time. But there's like, he goes through chapter 1, 2. They talk about the safety of it. They talk about the pharmacology of it. They talk about the effects on pain. They talk about neuroprotection and cognitive decline, neurogenesis, motor neurons, depression. Anyway, cardiac function. Yeah, examine.com. Okay. What I did was I just typed in spirulina research, and I think it was like the 15th hit. It wasn't.
Okay. Yeah.
Believe me, I'm not going to WebMD to learn about spirulina. It's just a waste of my time. Sorry. I shouldn't have said it that way.
Well,
I'm just saying I don't really get many takeaways that I can use day in, day out. But this address called examine.com.
Okay.
If you will look that up, sir, I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And even, okay, do you know what the word bias means?
Yes, I do.
Your sister is one biased woman. She is one biased nurse. And
well,
it's not helping anybody. Your mother-in-law, I mean, your stepmother, excuse me.
Yes.
She
yes.
could actually benefit if just the stupidness would move out of the way. I'm not calling her stupid.
No,
I'm just
no,
saying
I
the ridiculous ridiculous stuff. That's like people telling me, "Well, my doctor never told me that drinking Diet Pepsi every day was bad for my brain." I'm going, "Well, that's because he didn't read about it." I don't know. What am I supposed to say? But if you look up examine.com on the spiraling research, I think you'll be a really happy camper.
And real quick on mine, I had my left knee back in October swell up, and it was anything that I had done. So I went to a doctor and he drained it. And nonetheless, he said, "I don't really."
Well, what came out when he drained it? What'd you see? Was it like full of blood?
No, it was white.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to double check.
But here's what he asked for a follow up MRI, and I waited until just to go back to see them after I got insurance. And what I'm trying to share, sir, is they did the x-ray and they said, "Your knees are fine, but you're starting to have some arthritis in them. What can I do to be able to reduce the continued onset?"
Make them stronger. That's a solution. That works every time. If you got arthritis, start doing challenging knee exercises to get them stronger. They're called knee mobility exercises. So if you went to YouTube, type in moves, method, and then knee mobility, knee pain exercises. Because if your knees stop hurting and they feel great and you feel strong, won't that be enough proof or evidence that you're moving in the right direction?
you know, they feel strong. I just, when he couldn't figure, I don't like people just looking for, you know, treating symptoms. I want to know the cause. And so that's the reason why I followed up. And they said no, because I told him I went on a missions trip and I hiked and put 12 to 15,000 steps per day.
Where did you go? Mount Kilimanjaro?
No. I went to Belize.
Well, that's like Mount Kilimanjaro.
Well, we went to some villages and what. Anyway, I'm just trying to share with you. The more exercise, the more I don't have any problems with my knees.
Well, looky so, there. You know, right? I think we just uncovered a truth, didn't we?
You absolutely.
Good job, so, man.
Well, and I hate taking too much time because there's so many good listeners wanting to.
Yeah, but we're covering points that need to be heard by everyone. Well, so, you know what I would say is my takeaway? Looky there. The doctor told you have arthritis, and all of a sudden you go walking up hills and valleys and mountains,
right?
And all of a sudden they feel great. Well, lo and behold, maybe the body is a self-healing organism. Under the right conditions, your body can get back in good repair.
I do agree with that. My father's 93, doing great, exercises every day, and I'm saying that I want to live to be that long. And being as good a health as him. So
excellent.
That's why I listen to you, but I just can't sing your praises and God's praises enough in regards to the knowledge that you're spreading and helping other people. So,
well, you know what? I'm just like you. I'm learning. I'm learning every day just like you are. And it's so much fun to learn something, isn't it?
It is. It is. Well, and, you know, God's made everything, and how they're discovering these supplements, it's so interesting, and I am so happy we have the new HHS director that's trying to find the chronic.
He is trying, isn't he?
He is. And what you said earlier about people that are at a young age and can't walk to the back of the store—that's a crying shame. I mean, if we don't have our health, I mean, we have God, but if we don't have our health, what do we have? I mean, we can have all the money in the world, but if we can't get out of bed, my goodness.
I know. So, well said.
Well,
thank you. Thank you very much for your kind words.
Well, and no, thank you for all you do. I just want you to know, I know a lot of, I've told dozens of people, listen to Dr. Morgan. Yeah, he has this. He has it. And so now that I have these armed with these Alzheimer's articles,
mm-hmm.
I'll let them do the talking, you know?
That's, sometimes that's just the way it has to be. You got to hear it from a different angle, a different source.
Exactly.
To go, yeah, he'll call you and go, Britt, did you know, young man, that my favorite son, that this is good for dementia? No, Dad, I didn't know that. And you go, wow, what a radical discovery. It's not like I've been telling you that for 10 years now. Yeah, I know, but it is funny.
He's exhausted because he's having to take care of her. She won't let him out of her eyesight. He likes. Anyway, they're the couple.
What a great man he is.
Always holding hand.
Oh, that's
always
beautiful.
Always holding hand.
That is beautiful.
It is beautiful. And he wants her back. He wants her to be able to communicate and talk to her and let her just enjoy life. And so I wanted to help him. I'm going to go up there and help him sit with her and what have you. But I'm also going to bring these articles and.
Real
just to
good,
try and offer some other ideas.
Yeah. Well, you can that one you can copy off.
Yes, sir.
All right, perfect. Sir. Thanks a bunch.
Hey, God bless. Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye. I'm on that website examine right now on my phone. That was a great call. I'm just quoting the researcher right here. Here's one scientific point. Spirulina is able to exert protection against strokes. With 200 milligrams per kilogram of isolated C-phycocyanin. Anyway, I'm not going to reel that to you. But I'm just going, man, the research is incredible. All that matters is you have confidence and you believe. It's not a drug, but it's a substance that might help heal your body.